records of what God has been doing in people's lives is fantastic, isn't it? It really is fantastic. Now, would you like to know what I've been doing this week? I knew that. I'm going to finish by 5 to 12, by the way, today. So when I get to 5 to 12, you say, that's it, okay. But I bought a bed this week, or I've ordered a bed, and I went to Furniture Village. I was thinking about having a water bed, but I didn't want to become a drifter. but I went for a traditional one in the end. And I was in Furniture Village. I went after work about 6, 7 o'clock, and there were a few people there, but there was only one salesman. And I sort of waited for 40 minutes, and no one came to serve me, and I looked around all these beds, and I chose the bed. I thought, well, you know, I wasn't upset at all. I didn't get annoyed, you know, the grace of God there. I wasn't irritated. I just thought, well, I'll come back in the morning. I walked out of the store, and there was a gentleman walking along the pavement dressed in a T-shirt and shorts. And you know what I'm like for joking? I said to him, I wouldn't go in there. He said, why not? I said, well, there's no one to serve you. They've only got one salesman. He's tied up. He said, I'm the manager. It's my day off. True. I'm sure you think I make this up, but it's absolutely true. And so he said, well, look, I'll ring my wife now, he said, and I'll serve you. So we went in the store, and he served me, and I ordered the bed, and he got talking, and I said I was a church minister, and he said, my wife is very ill. And I said, well, would you allow me to pray for your wife now in the store? He said, I'd love that. So we stood in the center of Furniture Village, and I prayed for his wife. And when I opened my eyes, tears were streaming down his face, and he got hold of me and gave me an amazing hug. And I tell you what other people in the store thought, I have no idea. And, you know, I thought, well, it's wonderful to be a blessing. And he said, you know, you've blessed me today. I'm going to be a blessing to you. I'm going to give you a great discount on your bed. Isn't that fantastic? So wherever you go, friends, you know, there's always an opportunity to share the love of God and the blessing of God. Let's do it, shall we? You know, let's shake off the stiffness and the religiousness and just be followers of Jesus. Yes? Amen. And then the other great piece of news I've got, my son phoned me, my youngest son, Duncan. He phoned me, said, Dad, we've got some great news for you. So I said, what's that? He said, We're going to tell you that Katie's expecting another baby. And there was a big pause. I was going to say a pregnant pause, but... So I said, where are you going to put all these children? That was the wrong thing to say, I know. He said, it's all right, Dad, we'll just have your house. Ray, can you just put something up on the screen for me? And that would be lovely. And there he or she is. And there hasn't been a girl Harris in the family for 100 years. So we're praying this little baby there in the womb, baby Harris is a little girl. Who knows? So I will then have 5 grandchildren. So the Christmas budget has gone up and up. Praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, please, to Ephesians chapter 2. And I just want to, by God's grace, give you an exposition of the first 10 verses. And Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord. Amen. I'm going to read from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 to 10. And the subject today, and I'm finishing at 5 to 12, is before and after in Christ. Before and after in Christ. And the key verse is here in verse 4, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. In verse 1 of Ephesians 2, Paul says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the Spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Amen. May the Lord bless the public reading of his word. The Apostle Paul here, having encouraged his readers by reminding them of their elevated status and position in Christ in chapter 1, he says that they have been blessed in the heavenly realms, and he talks about them knowing the riches of God's grace which he has lavished upon them. And he prays that by spiritual revelation and enlightenment of God's incomparable great power to them, that they might know that same power which raised Christ from the dead. He changes tack a little bit in the first verse of chapter 2. In chapter 1, he's speaking to them collectively. In chapter 2, there's a change. He speaks to them as individuals. Look at verse 1 of chapter 2, please. As for you, he says, as for you. It's good when God speaks to us collectively, but we must remember, friends, that God can only speak to a church collectively when he first starts talking to us as individuals. You make up the church. I make up the church. You are the body of Christ, Paul says in Corinthians, and members in particular. I'm a member of God's body, of Christ's body. I'm a member of Christ's church. Thank God for church membership. Reminds me of the story of three vicars who were having lunch, and they were talking together, and one vicar said, I've had terrible trouble with bats in my belfry. Can't get rid of them. The other vicar said, I've had exactly the same trouble. He said, I've tried the pest control, I've had sprays, I've had powders, I've had all sorts of things, can't get rid of them. The vicar said, I've got rid of mine. They said, how do you do it? He said, I baptized them all and made them church members, and I haven't seen them since. But we are members of the church. We are members of the church. We are members of Christ's body. And chapter 2 begins, as for you. He reminds them, first of all, of what they were. And I think it's a good thing, friends, don't you, when we think about God's love and God's grace, that we remember where we've come from. Now, I was converted as a young man, 16 years of age, so I didn't go to prison. You know, I wasn't a drug addict. You know, I didn't live a bad life, you know, but I was unsaved. I was away from God. And when I heard the gospel, I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. In fact, the very first time I heard the true gospel, that night, I got saved. I accepted Jesus Christ. I didn't sit in church for years resisting God's truth, resisting God's love. As soon as I heard the true gospel, what I call the full gospel, I became a Christian. Now, there are people here that may have lived terrible lives, you know, they weren't as good as me. But just remember where you've come from. And it doesn't matter how bad you are or how good you were, we all need Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Amen? The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But it's a good thing to remind ourselves sometimes where we came from. And Paul says this here. He says in verse 1, he talks about their condition before they came to Christ. He says they were dead. They were dead. They were not physically dead, but they were spiritually dead. When God said to Adam, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die, God didn't mean that Adam would drop down dead there and then. He meant that a spiritual process would begin to take place in his life where he was estranged from God, where he was alienated from God, and spiritual death would take place. And that moment when Adam took and ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, contrary to what God had commanded, Adam died spiritually. Adam lost his relationship with God. And Paul says here, you were dead. Now the word dead here is the Greek word nekros, where we get our word necrotic from. And it's found 27 times in the New Testament. And it clearly says that the Bible teaches us that when we're outside of Christ, we're dead. The whole of mankind has inherited this condition from our first human being, Adam. We are dead in trespasses and in sins. Romans 5:12, sin entered the world through one man and death through sin. And in this way, death came upon all people because all have sinned. Paul says in Corinthians, as in Adam, all die. When I was born as a physical human being, I was spiritually dead because I inherited a sinful nature from Adam. Now, we all know what physical death is, but do we truly understand what spiritual death is? There are people sitting in churches who are singing hymns and listening to sermons and listening to the Word of God who are still dead because they haven't committed their life to Jesus Christ. The absence of the life of God is spiritual death. And in the same way that God breathed into Adam the breath of life and Adam became a living soul, when a person commits their life to Jesus Christ, they are born again by the Spirit of God. They experience a new birth. They are reborn, or they are born again by the Holy Spirit. What does it mean to be born of God? 1 John 5:1 tells us, everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Friends, it's a wonderful thing to have been reborn, isn't it? Wonderful thing to have been reborn. It's a wonderful thing to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not a religion. It's not a following. It's a wonderful, wonderful spiritual life. I feel it. I know it. I've experienced it. I live it. I walk in it. It is the life of God within us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The term born of God is a wonderful term. And it's so clear that before we're born spiritually, we were dead spiritually. Now, I want you to think of some of the characteristics of a dead person. I never see a dead person move, do you? I don't see a dead person breathing or communicating or any expression. They don't have an interaction with living bodies. In fact, a dead person doesn't do much at all. Do you know there are some people like that in church? Does that surprise you? It's true. It's true. And Paul is saying here that before we came to Christ, we were dead. And one of the greatest evidences of people being spiritually alive, having the life of God within them, and this is true, is whether they can worship God. Because when you worship God, you know you're spiritually alive. And people who cannot worship God cannot because they've not got the life of God. It's true. Thank God this morning we've been able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Psalm 115 verse 17 says, the dead praise not the Lord. And how true that is, isn't it? If you're spiritually dead this morning, it's no wonder you haven't been able to enter into worship. God wants you to be alive this morning. Paul uses two words here to describe that death. He says they were dead in transgressions. King James Version says transgressions or trespasses. And here the meaning of transgressions or trespasses is the crossing of a forbidden boundary, intentionally or unintentionally. And the word is also rendered in Galatians 6:1 as fault. Okay? It's the same word. And the Bible provides us with a definition of sin. It says, everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. The first man, Adam, sinned because he crossed a forbidden boundary. He trespassed. In exactly the same way as we see on a piece of land at the fence, trespassers will be prosecuted. It's exactly the same meaning. If you cross that boundary, if you cross that fence or go over that gate, you're trespassing. It is the crossing of a forbidden boundary. But Paul also says here in verse 1, He uses the word sin, and here the word is harmatia, and that word means an offense. So I'm dead in trespasses because I've crossed a forbidden boundary, but I'm also dead because I've offended God. I've committed offenses. All wrongdoing is sin. And 1 John 5:18 says, anyone who is born of God does not continue in sin. When I was dead to God, I was held in the grip of sin. And men are sinners because they sin, but also because they are born in the grip of sin. But when we are born again, we are set free from the power of sin. Paul says in Romans, sin shall no longer be your master. Why is that? Because you are not under law but under grace, he says. And he's talking about two different laws that are operating there. He says, before we came to Christ, we were under this law, the law of sin and death. We were dead in trespasses and in sins. We couldn't worship God. We didn't know God. We had no relationship with God. But now we're in Christ. There is another law operating. Hallelujah. The law of the Spirit of life has set us free, he says, from the law of sin and death. There is a greater law. It is the law of the Spirit of God that gives life to us. Look at verse 2 here, another characteristic of our life before Christ. He says, you followed the kingdoms of this world. Our lives were dominated and determined by this earthly kingdom and not God's kingdom. We are told not to conform to the pattern of this world. And the word world there doesn't mean the physical universe. It doesn't mean the earth as a sphere in the universe. The word world there means the system of the age, the ways of the world, the attitude of the world, the ethos of the world. We're not to be conformed to the pattern, the ways, the system of this present world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And that word transformed is the word metanoia, which means change. We have a new mindset because we've been born again. We have a new attitude that doesn't conform to this world. We live in this world, but we're not of the world. We're in it, but we're not of it, because we walk in a different kingdom. Hallelujah. Are you walking in a different kingdom? But Paul also says here that our lives were dominated by Satan. He says, we followed the ways of the world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who now is at work in the people who are disobedient. I know this might be difficult for some people to grasp, but it is true that before we came to Christ, our lives were dominated by Satan. We were in the grip of Satan. We didn't know his ways, the ways of God or the ways of Jesus. Even what I call the moral law, the principle of morality, how humans behave to one another. Have you noticed how bad it is in this present age? You've only got to drive a car and see how people cut people up and how they don't let you out, you know, and you'll get a finger here or a finger there if you do something wrong, and I just bless them, I tell you. I don't let people upset me if I carve them up. And the real reason is this, is because people are living their lives in rebellion and disobedience to God. And Satan is behind it all. Make no mistake. I'm not one that sees demons everywhere, but I tell you this. Jesus said, this world lies in the lap of the wicked one. And that is true. But God has taken us out of that system. And we're walking in a different realm, friends. We're walking in the realm of the Spirit, of love and power and grace. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And just as disobedience to God is a characteristic of the unregenerate life, so obedience to God is a characteristic of the renewed life. I want to obey him because I love him. Amen. His commandments are not grievous. They're not hard. I love him, and so I walk with him. And then very quickly, Paul also says here, he talks about our after condition. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, there's a change. He talks about what we were, but in verse 4, he says, but God. And you've heard me say before that I love the buts of Scripture. I was this, but God. I was doing that, but God. I was going this way, but God. Thank God for your but this morning. Amen? Amen.
Hallelujah.
The but is when we came to Christ. And in verses 4 and 5, there are three characteristics of the but. His great love for us, His mercy, God who is rich in mercy, and His grace. It is by grace you have been saved. Those three things are the truths of salvation. Those three wonderful characteristics of what God has done for us encapsulate the truth of salvation. Love, mercy, and grace. And I'm no longer walking according to the prince of the power of the air. I'm no longer walking according in trespasses and in sins. I'm walking in His love, and I'm walking in His mercy, and I'm walking in His grace. Hallelujah. Look what he says happened to us. Look at verse 5. He made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. He made us alive even when we were dead. Paul says that when we came to Christ and experienced His love, mercy, and grace, we who were once dead in trespasses and in sins, He made us alive. He made us alive. Truly I tell you, Jesus said, whoever hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life. He will not be judged, but He has, and I love this, He has crossed over from death to life. And the word there means to change places, to swap position. Isn't that wonderful? When we came to Christ, God, by His grace, He swapped us into a different position. We were out, but then we were in. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God raised us up together, he says in verse 6, and He seated us together in the heavenly realms. Why did God do that when we came to Him? Look at verse 7. That in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable, exceeding riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. And that word incomparable, the King James Version exceeding, it means above and beyond. It means surpassing. It means excelling. His love and His grace is above and beyond anything we can ever experience or know. Hallelujah. It's nearly 5:02, so I'm closing. Beth's been watching. And finally, he talks to us about our continuing condition. We've had the before, we've had the after. We've seen this passage of Scripture, what we were. We've also seen what we became. And in this closing section in verse 8, he says what we will continue to be. Look at verse 8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. And then he says in verse 9, not by works, that anyone should boast. And then in verse 10 he says, for we are God's handiwork. And I love this. We are God's handiwork. And the Greek word for handiwork here is poimina, where we get our word poem from. And Paul is saying, and using this word carefully, because he's saying, in Christ we become a masterful creation. We become a masterful poem. It can also mean fabric or tapestry. Some translations render it needlework. I love that. We are God's needlework. This beautiful thing that He creates for in us and through us. We are God's needlework. We're His handiwork. We're a masterful creation. The old has gone, the new has become. We're created in Christ Jesus, that means our recreation as Christians, to do God's work. We come to know the Lord in a real and living way for a purpose. The purpose, friends, is not just to get us to heaven. Some Christians think salvation is just about heaven. It's not just about heaven. It's living a kingdom life here and now. It's experience the power of God now. It's being able to worship God now in spirit and in truth. And today I want you to think how you can bless someone Today I want you to think how you can really show the love of God to someone, how you can be a wonderful, masterful creation since you've come to know Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer, and the band are going to come. We're going to sing a final song, but I want you to thank God today for your afterness in Christ. And there may be somebody here, as we are in prayer, who has never committed their life to Jesus Christ. You sat in church, but you don't really know the life that I've been talking about today. I'd like to include you in a prayer. And if you this morning would like to make your commitment to Jesus Christ, I want you to raise your hand and put it down again. Right now. I'm looking around. If there's anybody, there may be nobody, there may be somebody. Slip up your hand, put it down again. I'll know that you want to make your commitment to Christ. Father, by your Holy Spirit, I pray your word will take root in our hearts. By your Holy Spirit, I pray that your love and grace will be poured out upon us, that we might know the power of an age to come. We might know the power of an age to come right here. And Lord, I pray for our church family here at River of Life, that more and more in these days in which we live, we will be a kingdom people. We will know what it is to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen.